Okay, well, in the spirit of New Testament overview, we're in 1 Corinthians right now. So just kind of went through and picked some verses I thought were great preaching points. We have 20 minutes to do 25 minutes of preaching. So for shotgun? Well, shotgun we do, because there's 25 minutes of preaching, and we usually have half an hour, so we actually finish 5 minutes early. And you're on the clock, so you can't go over. So this will be unique. Anyway, so your 5 minutes start when you're walking up here. Come on, Lorenzo!
All right, good evening. All right, I sense a theme, and I put my name first, because I wasn't sure how many more people would step up, so I was like, if I have to preach the whole thing, no, I'm just kidding. I knew other guys would step up to the plate, so. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10.
1 minute.
Alrighty. It's really just strictly an intro then, huh? He took a couple minutes for me, so. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it, but each man must be careful how he builds on it. And let's read verse 11, 12, and 13. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it will be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. Now, if you go back up to verse 6, you get to see that there's more people that are coming together and they're building up of the body. Some people get to build, you have the foundation, which is Christ. You know, just think about a building. The foundation is Christ. And then we build on top of that. Well, Paul comes along. He builds. Apollos comes and he waters, and we can see that different parts of the body come together and they build up this magnificent building. But I want us to turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Because the theme that I'm sensing for this is that, well, we are a body, but we cannot lose sight of what the foundation is. We are a body, and it is natural for a body to grow, right? We're going to grow. It's going to expand. We're going to grow in different ways, you know, taller, wider, all the different ways. We're going to grow. But the thing is, we can never lose sight of the foundation. And what is the foundation? It is Jesus Christ. And this is so important. And if you look at 1 Corinthians 3, what is he really trying to communicate? Well, it's not just necessarily that be careful about how you build your earthly house, make sure that you build a good foundation. No, he's talking about the church. And it's very, very easy to backslide and to compromise on doctrine and to compromise on a lot of things, really to start inserting these extra little things that are not in Scripture. And see, Paul and Jesus was very particular. He laid out his plan to his apostles, right? And then the apostles, they took what Jesus gave to them, and then they delivered it to the congregations. And so we are built off of apostles' teaching. And any deviation from that really is just, it's not biblical. And you even see that in Galatians chapter 1, that Paul said, hey, if anybody comes and they even preach a gospel contrary to what I even told you, even if I come back and I tell you something different, right? If it's contrary to the gospel that was sent through the apostles from Jesus himself, then that person is to be accursed. Even if an angel were to come to you, you know, if an angel came to you and, you know, somebody walks in, they said, hey, an angel came to me and said, the church needs to now accept this new practice. I have extra revelation. Is that a part of the foundation of this? We got to be going back to the Scripture. The Scripture is going to be everything that we have pertaining to life and godliness, Peter says. So we're in Ephesians chapter 2, and I'll just close it up with this last thought. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of what? God's household. Remember, the foundation is Jesus Christ. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. He's the one that makes this whole thing square. But what are the other things that the church is built off of? Well, the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Well, how do you get the word from the apostles and prophets? Well, it's pretty straightforward with, you know, in the short amount of time I have. This is the foundation. And so my encouragement is, as we go out to reach into the world and to rescue lost souls, this is what we can never deviate from.
You guys ever like plan something out and got it all planned out? You think it's going to work really well, and then you go ahead and you do what you planned out, and then you're like, that didn't work out the way I planned it. Right? That happens to us, right? So what do you do next time? You don't do it that way, right? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12 makes me think about this. It says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. You see, what's the outcome we want in our life? If you were to ask me that question, I would say I want to bring glory to God. That's a good answer for that question, because then you take the path that God wants you to take regardless of your feelings about what you're doing in the moment. You see? Now, there's things that are lawful for us to do, but are not always profitable. And one easy one to pick on that I see as a hurdle for a lot of people is drinking. You can't say biblically that you can't drink. You're just not going to find enough scripture to pin that down. But I can see it destroy a ton of people's lives. And people will sacrifice a lot to be able to keep that privilege. And it's just not worth it. And that's what this verse is talking about. All things are profitable, or all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. So something else this verse makes me think about is self-assessment. Most of us don't like to do that, right? It's kind of like decluttering your house, right? Do I really need that?
Yes.
Right? Yeah, there's two personalities, right? But a lot of times it's like, yeah, I'm probably going to use that. Have I used it for the last 5 years? No, but I'm probably going to use it this year. Right? Self-assessment, we don't like to do it. We don't like to get rid of the stuff we don't need. But see, that's what this verse is talking about. Is it getting you the outcome that you want? If it's not getting you the outcome that you want, then get rid of it. I mean, is it lawful for you to eat 10 donuts a day? Sure. Is the outcome going to be profitable?
Careful.
I didn't say tacos. I said donuts. The outcome's probably not going to be what you want, right? So self-assessment, that's what it's saying. Take a look at yourself and see if you're getting the results that bring the glory to God. Not the results exactly that you want. Because if we be honest, some of the stuff we have to go through in this life and do for God is not particularly what we would choose. But are we willing to do it for Him? Honest question.
I get his time, right? Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. All right, so Paul writing to the Corinthians, it's a church of a lot of different folk. Okay? So real quick background on the church in Corinth. It was very, very Gentile. And there was a significant difference between the Gentiles, even amongst themselves, different classes of people, different income levels, different belief systems. A lot of them had come from some one pagan background or another, and they weren't exactly melding together very well initially. Okay, so Paul had to write them to them this second letter, technically. And one of the things that he's working on here, I want to talk a little bit about tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19 here. He says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I may win more. To the Jews I became as a Jew, so that I might win Jews. To those who were under the law, as under the law, though not under being myself under the law, so that I might win those who were under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all means save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it." Go out into the world. Just think about it for a second. Go outside of the church. Go out into the world. And just randomly think about trying to take, say, 50 people from completely different walks of life and have them agree on anything. That'd be a tough, pretty tough row to hoe, right? So the church in Corinth was struggling with a little bit of what we'll call division. A little bit of, well, I'm from this clan and you're from this clan, and, well, I was taught by this person. No, I was taught by this person, right? Read the first part of 1 Corinthians. So Paul's working on a bigger subject here, and he says he becomes all things to all men so that by all means I might save some. You notice that each one of those verses, he essentially says, I became fill in the blank so that I might win some. You know where that starts, brethren? That starts with getting out of your comfort zone. So now I need audience participation. Everybody stand up. If you're not, please don't. Everybody stand up. Everybody on this side of the room, I'm going to give you 30 seconds. Well, let's say a minute. I want somebody in every one of this row to go onto this side of the building and say hi to somebody they have not either spoken to before or it has been a while. Okay, go. Go. Got a minute. Go say hi. Introduce yourself. That is very nice. It's nice to see you. Don't cheat. Don't talk to people you talk to all the time. Thirty seconds. All right, you can start finding your way back to your seats. Now, this is a really, really, really simple example. Thank you. This is a really simple example of where becoming all things to all men starts with. Believe it or not, I am horribly uncomfortable in large groups of people that I don't know. Believe it or not. My wife says that I'm not, but she can't tell my heart rate. The thing is that it's taken me years to get to the point where I can present myself as being more comfortable. Here's the thing, guys. We are put on this earth for a reason. We are here to spread the message of the gospel, to save souls. And it starts with getting out of our comfort zones so that we can relate to people. Thank you.
light of all that, I get 1 Corinthians 10:13. One thing I got out of Roger's message was that God will help us face all our fears every day. Keep that in mind. Kind of a quick summary, really quick, of 1 Corinthians 3:10, 6:12, 9:19, leading up to this here, and I'll let Larry finish up with 13:1, was the best way for us to process through all of this is having a good picture of who we are in Christ and what our exact purpose is. And it is a newfound purpose that we find in Christ. So Christ, Jesus, laid a foundation through the apostles and prophets, and he became the chief cornerstone that he wants to establish right here in our heart. This is tied to this. And Scott Schweitzer preached a message on that, where our heart and our mind are one in the same. So you can ask Scott Schweitzer about that. But building something that lasts, we need to be careful how, in 1 Corinthians 3:10, is being careful to build what will last, and that means trusting God's plan to build his way so that there's no compromise, so that what we do build lasts the test of time. And that, yes, all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. I remember when I used to Bible study with somebody over in Manhattan for 4 years, and he would smoke in the middle of our Bible studies. And I would say, well, why do you do that? He says, well, all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. But I'll be mastered by none of those, right? So what I found out is you got to know the difference between the two of what is lawful and what is not profitable. All things are lawful. But, you know, figuring that out is going to take some work. Because when you get to 1 Corinthians 9:19, is we need to learn how to put ourselves in other people's shoes. We need to not look across them at them judgmentally. We need to understand who they are. We need to understand where they're at, so that we have that better opportunity to learn how to become all things to all men. Because that's tied directly to our newfound purpose. You know, Paul made very, very good use of that. Getting to 1 Corinthians 10:13, let's turn over there. And I'll just read this, that no temptation has overtaken you such as common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape so that you will be able to endure the temptation. I've always told people that temptation is not sin, all right? It can lead to it. It's succumbing to it. Okay, and what you'll find is the more you do that, the more you battle with it, the more you succumb to your temptation, the more you will feel like you're dying rather than living. And if we're going to be useful to other people, what's the best way we can discover the depth of our newfound purpose? It is living a life that is an overwhelming conqueror by the power of Christ, with the help of the encouragement of the saints who spur us on or encourage us on to love and good deeds. So to overcome a temptation, you have to have patience. And you've got to trust that God's plan will work. Romans 5:1-5 is a very good spiritual mechanism in being able to really apply 1 Corinthians 10:13, or really work through 1 Corinthians 10:13, because I really believe this needs to be worked through in order to say that, hey, if Christ can do it, if Kevin can do it, if Justin can do it, if Dave can do it, if Nolan can do it, then Rain can do it, or someone else can do it. Because this is God's plan, and we have to trust in His plan, and we have to wait long enough to allow His plan to work, but put ourselves in a position for success. So, it's a fearful thing to do this, but remember that God will help us faith all our fears.
Do I get more than a minute? Do I get more than a minute? It's 7:59. Oh, man. All righty. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13:1. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. What really sets mine apart from the animals? I mean, there's various things. They don't wear really cool clothes like we do or nothing like that. But one thing that's major separates man from any other entity on the planet is being able to communicate logically a thought. Okay, dogs, they do little dances. Bees do dance, communicating where they're from. You know, dolphins make squeaky noises, and supposedly that they're communicating. But they don't write something down. They don't create a written or any sort of permanent record of their living that can be passed down. They don't have moral codes put in any sort of permanent statute. I'd say written, but obviously that ain't going to work. So yeah, that really sets man. That's man is very different than any other entity on the planet because we can do that. And what have we done with it? Well, if you want to see a bad example of it, you know, Karen and I been to Washington D.C. like 20 years ago. We're taking the kids again to see some of the historic things there this year. But and I worked for a guy who had to go back there every once in a while. And it's an amazing place because you have all of these people who are crazy smart, constantly communicating about nothing. Nothing. They're just talking and talking. Most of them have never left Washington, D.C., and they just talk for hours about bills, spinning around and around and really going nowhere. It is a total waste of time. So mankind has the ability to speak, but what are we doing with it? Okay, that's really what this verse is driving at. We're speaking, and what is that? What is that? What is the intent of that speaking? Jump to John 1:1. First verse. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God is communicating to us who He is. And He has communicated to us. He is the Logos, which has been brought out through the Scriptures. It's the communication of God's nature is Logos, written down for all times for us. Okay, this is God communicated who He is through the Scriptures. Okay, and we now have the opportunity to know God. We don't get to walk with Jesus physically. No, we get to do that by looking through the Scriptures and by putting that into our mind and then communicating to those that are around us. So you can be like those in Washington, D.C. and talk about nothing. And that's really what they're driving at there in 1 Corinthians 13, what Paul is hitting at. He's saying, hey, what are you doing with your life? Are you a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal? You know, but do you love a soul? And what is loving a soul? Is it giving them hugs and, oh, you're great and you've not done anything bad? And that's really what our world likes to say. That's how we communicate. And by the way, that's how the world says you are to communicate love, is no condemnation at all, no wrongs, everyone's good. That is not the love of Christ. The love of Christ is getting their relationship right with the Lord. And that's telling them the truth about the Scriptures. That they've fallen, they've sinned, all fallen short of the glory of God, but that can be taken care of and wiped off the slate. and they can know what it means to have a relationship with the creator of the world. That is really the love of Christ. And then if you don't want to be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, that's how we need to communicate to people. That's what we need to communicate to people. We need to get in their lives and help them out. So many people in this life act like they have it all together, sports stars, celebrities, millionaires, billionaires, whatever it may be. But when you get down to it, they got nothing. To close, I got a minute left. Let's go to Acts 17. Paul's a great example of this. He was the one who did so much communicating. In verse 16 through 18. While Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was being provoked within him as he was observing the city full of idols. So he was reasoning in the synagogue with the Jews and God-fearing Gentiles in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be present. And also some Epicurean and Stoic philosophers were conversing with him. Some were saying, what would this babbler wish to say? Others, he seemed to be a proclaimer of strange deity because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. That is what we have to do. You've got to go out there and preach Jesus and the resurrection. Communicate that to people. People might think you're an idol babbler. They might think, yeah, you got no clue what you're saying. But really, if you love a soul, that's the number one thing that you need to communicate to them. Paul is a great example of that. He found those who would listen. God-fearing Gentiles, Jews, who were like, okay, yeah, there's something greater than the law. There's something better than the law here. So I encourage you all to do that today. Go out and really don't be a gong or a noisy cymbal or anything, a noisy gong or anything like that out there. But really try to communicate with precise words. There's a lot of words. Rome is not too different than it is today, I believe. I believe there's a lot of parallels. And there's a lot of noise out there on the electronic world. But give the truth to the world and get it with love. Thanks.